So in this session, we're going to now have a look at the shamatha practice using the mind as the object. Sometimes this practice is also called settling the mind in its natural state. Many people find this more challenging than focusing on the breath, but I think, as we've already seen briefly, this practice can bring us enormous benefits in our modern day world, particularly that many of us are so much really the slaves of our mind, and that we're often tormented by our thoughts and emotions and memories as well. So to introduce this practice, I'd like to first read a little bit from this book here, Attention Revolution, from Alan Wallace. He puts a lot of emphasis on the shamatha practice, and he also is in this book here covering the more or less the same three objects that we'll be covering today: the breath, the mind, and then the awareness practice as well. So I just begin by reading a little bit what he says about this particular practice of observing the mind, or settling the mind in its natural state, and this is on page 83 in his book. He says the following: the object of mindfulness in the practice of settling the mind in its natural state is no longer the subtle sensations of the breath at the nostrils, but the space of the mind and whatever events arise within that space. The object of introspection, as in the earlier practice of mindfulness of breathing, is the quality of the attention with which you are observing the mind. As you venture into this practice, I would encourage you to memorize these quintessential instructions, which are: settle your mind without distraction and without grasping. Practicing without distraction means not allowing your mind to be carried away by thoughts and sense impressions. Be present here and now, and when thoughts arise pertaining to the past or future, or ruminations about the present, don't be abducted by them. As you hike on this trail of shamatha, don't be a hitchhiker, catching a ride with any of the thoughts or images that whiz through your mind. Rather, be like a kestrel, hovering motionlessly as it faces the wind, slightly moving its wings and tail feathers to adjust to changes in the currents of the air. Even when your attention is settled in the present, you may still grasp onto the appearances to the mind. Whenever you prefer one mental object over another, whenever you try to control the contents of your mind, and whenever you identify with anything at all, grasping has set in. Here is the challenge at hand. Be attentive to everything that comes up in the mind, but don't grasp onto anything. In this practice, let your mind be like the sky. Whatever moves through it, the sky never reacts. It doesn't stop anything moving through it. It doesn't hold on to anything that's present, nor does it control anything. The sky doesn't prefer rainbows to clouds, butterflies to jet planes. Whatever comes up in the field of awareness, without distraction or grasping, just let it be. So this is one of the key instruction here is without grasping, without distraction. And mentioned here is just let it be. So in the breath practice, of course, thoughts are problems. We need to let them go. So if we're focusing on the breath and a thought comes up, we need to let it go and come back to the breath. In this practice of observing the mind, thoughts are not problems. It's grasping onto the thought, identifying with the thought is the problem. So instead of letting them go, we let them be. Meaning, allow them to arise and pass, without grasping onto them, without following them. Of course, our strong habit is to always follow our thoughts and emotions and memories. And if they're unpleasant, also our strong habit is simply trying to suppress them. So we're trying to avoid both of these scenarios, either identifying and following our thoughts and emotions and getting caught up in them, or trying to suppress them. simply let them be. If it's arising, just observe it as it arises and passes. In this practice, of course, therefore, we're not trying to make the mind still. You know, often there's this big misconception that meditation is about emptying the mind of thoughts. We can't do that. If you've ever tried, you know it doesn't work. You just get agitated, you get more thoughts. So we're not trying to make the mind still. But if we simply observe thoughts and emotions as they arise and pass, we're not feeding the habit. Which means over the longer term, of course, the habit of these uncontrolled thoughts and emotions coming up will get weaker and weaker and weaker. Naturally, our mind will become more still. That will take time, of course. But if we're trying to empty our mind and trying to get rid of thoughts, this is not going to work. So we don't want to try and do that. Now, of course, as I mentioned, this practice many people find quite challenging. But there are enormous benefits with this practice because we are learning to become the observer or witness of our mind. Every time we can observe thoughts and emotions without identifying with them, without trying to suppress them, the habit of this stuff coming up will get weaker and weaker and weaker. Our mind will naturally become more still. And also, of course, then we're going to be developing the capacity to be present with these mental events without becoming overwhelmed. Meaning that in future, if some strong mental event were to arise in our mind, we could simply be present with it without needing to suppress it, and it can't really overwhelm us. In fact, if we look at what a thought, emotion, or memory is, it's virtually nothing. It's not like someone with a big stick smashing our body. These thoughts, emotions, and memories have no power over us. They only have power over us if we give them power. We give them power by identifying them, grasping them, following, or trying to suppress them. If we don't do that, they have no power over us. They can't do anything to us. Simply observe them arise and pass. So we can really become the masters of our mind instead of the slaves of our mind. In this practice, it's very much recommended to have the eyes open. And again, I'd like to read a little bit from Alan Walsh's book, why that is the case, and make a few more comments about that. So this is on page 86. And the key phrase here is, let your gaze be vacant. And on that point he says, in this practice, it is important that your eyes are open, vacantly resting your gaze in the space in front of you. If you have not meditated with your eyes open, you may find this uncomfortable, but I encourage you to get used to it. Blink as often as you like and don't strain your eyes in any way. So we're not forcibly keeping them open. So if you need to blink, let them blink. So we're not straining the eyes, just naturally open. Let them be as relaxed as if you were daydreaming with your eyes open. By leaving the eyes open while focusing your attention on the domain of mental events, the artificial barrier between inner and outer begins to dissolve. Especially in our materialist society, we have gotten used to the idea that our thoughts and all other mental events are inside our heads, but this has never been demonstrated scientifically. All that is known in this regard is that mental events are correlated with neural events, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are located in the same place. Even without this materialist assumption that the mind is nothing more than a function of the brain, we naturally have a sense that we are looking out on the world from behind our eyes. But this sense of an independent subject or ego inside the head is an illusion. There is no scientific support for such a belief, and when it is inspected through rigorous contemplative inquiry, this autonomous thinker and observer inside the head is nowhere to be found. In this practice, while leaving your eyes open, but by directing your attention to the mind, this conceptually superimposed demarcation between inner and outer begins to erode. you begin to recognize that your thoughts are not occurring in here in your head, nor are they occurring out there in space. This practice challenges the existence of an absolutely objective space of the physical senses that is absolutely separate from the subjective space of the mind. You are now on a path to realizing the meaning of non-duality. So just a couple of points with the eyes just mentioned here. Again, we're not straining the eyes. We're not looking at anything in particular. We are just having a vacant gaze in front of us. As mentioned, a little bit like when we're daydreaming. You know, we have our eyes open and we're daydreaming about something. We're not really looking at what's in front of us, but the eyes are just naturally open. This is sort of the gaze we want in this practice. Of course, in this practice, we are then focusing on our mind and all the mental events. So the object of this focus is what's called the space of the mind and any mental events that arise in that space. Thoughts, emotions, memories, mental images. What is not part of the object is sense objects, sounds, visual objects, smells, tastes, sensations in the body are not part of the object. We're not observing those. We ignore those. Of course, we don't try to block them. We're just observing mental events here. With the eyes, there are some advantages for having them open. As he mentioned in the book here, when we have them closed, we really have this sense of there's a me in here and a world out there. But as we find in Buddhism, that when we investigate, there is no sort of independent me in here and independent world out there. So having the eyes open in this practice helps to break down that false sense of inner and outer. Also, of course, with the eyes open, even though we're not really looking at anything, our visual gaze is still a little bit engaged, and like sensations, visual gaze only happens in the present moment. So I find personally it helps to lock me more into the present moment. When we have eyes closed, I tend more easily to drift into the past and future. Whereas with the eyes open, it seems to help lock into the present moment. So this is also good. Also, of course, with the eyes closed, we tend to drift into dullness. Eyes open, more clarity. Also, of course, if you have the eyes open in this meditation, then the distinction between meditation and daily life is easier to transition. If you're always meditating with your eyes closed, then you get into this habit that you can only do it with the eyes closed. But in daily life, of course, we're walking around with the eyes open. Whereas if we do this practice with the eyes open, observing the mind, becoming the observer witness of our mind, then more easily in daily life, when we do have our eyes open, we'll still be able to do that because it's very similar. So it's also going to help transition into doing this, being the observer witness of our mind in daily life as well. So these are really some of the benefits of the eyes open. When I first started meditating many years ago, I was very agitated, so I found that even having the eyes slightly open was too much agitation. I had them lightly closed. That helped with the overcoming agitation. But then, of course, dullness sort of set in. And when I first started doing this approach to practice, as he mentioned, I found it very uncomfortable. But very quickly I got used to it, and I really tend to just meditate with my eyes open now. Of course, here we don't have very ideal conditions because there's, you know, a lot of people and movement and so forth, and it's so easy to get pulled by movement. So, but of course, when you're at home, then where you meditate, you can make sure there's no movement, so nothing to pull your attention. Also, if you want to do a little bit the Zen approach, you can have a blank wall in front of your space in front, so there's nothing to pull the visual gaze as well, so you can adjust. Also, you can adjust the lighting. I prefer quite dim, so you can adjust the lighting as well. So these things you can adjust at home. But we're going to practice that now here. Before we go into the practice, any questions about the practice? Anything not clear? Okay, so let's do the practice, and then maybe a chance for some feedback after the meditation. So again, maybe 15, 20 minutes or so, we'll do this practice. And of course, I'll guide you through the steps in this practice. Okay? So find a nice, comfortable posture. So as always, we begin by preparing the body, setting it in a state of ease and relaxation. So simply allow your awareness to descend into your body, becoming aware of sensations throughout the body. And using the out-breath to relax and release any tightness or tension in any part of the body. Bringing your awareness to the area of the face, softening and relaxing all the muscles in the face, particularly the area around the eye. Allowing the entire body to become completely relaxed, completely at ease. And allowing the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. Not trying to control or regulate the breath in any way. And with each out-breath, letting go of any thoughts that may have arisen. Letting go of any hopes or fears, worries or concerns about the past or the future. And simply allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. through simply focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. Now allow your eyes to be at least partially open, vacantly resting your gaze in the space in front of you. And now bring your attention to your own mind. And simply observe your own mind and whatever is arising in your mind. Thoughts, emotions, memories, mental images. Simply observe these mental events as they arise and pass, without grasping to them, without becoming distracted. Without following them, without trying to get rid of them. Simply be like an impartial observer or witness. If you're new to this practice and you're not sure what to focus on, then deliberately generate a thought. Any thought will do. And simply watch that thought as it arises in your mind. And watch that thought as it disappears back into the space of your mind. And keep your attention right where it was, and simply wait for the next thought to appear in that space. you find that you've got caught up in a thought and got carried away, then again the first thing to do is simply to relax, then release grasping onto that thought and very gently return to focusing on the mind. So again, relax, release and return. If you're becoming frustrated at not being able to observe your mind, then simply observe that frustration. Or if you're becoming bored with the practice, observe the boredom. Whatever mental event arises, observe it as it arises and passes. And now release all appearances and simply allow the mind to come to rest. Simply resting in awareness itself. Simply be present. Just rest within luminously clear awareness. We can bring the meditation to a close. Any questions or comments? Easy? Difficult to, sorry? Yeah, of course. Exactly. And why is it difficult? I mean, it's not complicated. It's difficult because we don't have the habit of doing it. We have such a strong habit of always entertaining our thoughts and emotions, either by identifying with them and following them, or trying to get rid of them and suppress them. That is our instinctive strong habit since we were this high. We've never really developed this ability. But if we do, and of course, here we need patience, and we can follow some advice from great Indian master Shantideva, who says, no matter how difficult something seems, everything with practice becomes easy. And this is not a complicated meditation. It's very simple. But it's not easy because we haven't trained in it. But if we just simply train in it with patience and persistence, it will become easy. We will become the masters of our mind. It just takes time. So all you have to do is start to develop this ability to develop, be the observable witness of our mind. Any other questions?
So we are talking of conditioning, right? From childhood we've been conditioned.
Of course.
In a particular manner.
Exactly. And that conditioning has not served us very well. In fact, caused us a lot of grief often. Exactly. Because unfortunately, in our sort of education system, none of this sort of thing is taught. You know? So then we never learn it. Now, just a couple of points with this practice that you may find helpful, and then I'll read a little bit more from this book here, and then we'll do another short meditation before we go for lunch. When people begin this practice, of course there are many different experiences, but two main common experiences is that people try to observe their thoughts and emotions and then just keep getting swept away one after the other. And again, that's natural because this is our strong habit. Now, there's a couple of things we can do there to help us. One is that, like the breath practice, we can use this counting of the breath to stabilize. Here also, to help avoid getting caught up in our mental events, we can experiment with what's called noting. Again, giving the mental event a name. Like if something comes up, we can give it a name like anger, memory, agitation. So if you give it a name, a label, that gives you some breathing space from it, because you can't give it a name if you're caught up in it. So if you find that helpful, then we can use that. So when some mental event comes up, just give it a name. But again, very simple. Don't turn it into a commentary. You know, don't go, oh, there's the anger again. What sort of anger is that? Where did that come from? Why is it there? Then we're just caught up in more mental events. So, but if we give it a name, then that can be helpful to give us some breathing space. So you might like to experiment with that a little bit. Some people find it very helpful, other people not so helpful, but it could be helpful. Also, what happens is if we're constantly getting swept away, that can be very disheartening. You know, we feel like, no, this is too difficult for me, it's impossible. And one of the reasons, of course, we get swept away is that these thoughts and emotions come up, of course, unexpectedly, and we only recognize them once we're already gone. So what we can do here is, as I mentioned a little bit at the beginning of the meditation, is that we can deliberately generate a thought, just any thought, very simple thought, Because if we generate a thought, we're expecting it, we're knowing, we know it's going to come, then we can have a chance of observing it arise and pass. So if we every so often just deliberately generate a thought, and don't make it anything emotional because we'll get caught up in it, but just some very simple thought, just generate it and then watch it, and then we can get a feeling of a success a little bit. So this can also help to start the process. So these are a couple of things that we can do to help us begin to get into this practice. One other experience that people often have in this practice when they begin is that they sit down and they look, and then suddenly there's nothing there. They think, well, hang on, my mind's always crazy, yet when I sit down to look, somehow it's blank. What's going on? Unfortunately, it's not usually the fact that suddenly our mind has become very still and quiet, unfortunately. More likely, there are two things going on here. One is that, like, as I mentioned before, our habit is when we want to focus, we tense. So when we look at the mind, we think we just instinctively tense, you know, because we know we're going to get swept away, so we tense our focus. But that tension in focus means that we're suffocating our mind. We're taking up all the bandwidth of our mind in our intense focus. So there's no space for anything to come up. We're suffocating. So we need to relax. But of course, the balance. If we relax too much, we get swept away. If we're too tight, that's not good. But you'll find that if your focus is too intense, you will be suffocating the mind. Also, of course, our clarity's not very good. Many of you probably realised when you focus here at the beginning, you probably don't notice hardly anything. Does that mean there's no sensations going on here? Of course, as we progress in practice, we notice more, all these subtle sensations, which have actually always been there, but we've never noticed them, never, because our mind is dull and lacks clarity. Likewise, mental events. You'll find that there's a lot of mental events going on, very subtle mental events, you never register. You only register the very coarse mental events, like the coarse sensations in the body. So, again, what you will find in this practice is as your stability and clarity improve, you're going to start to notice a lot of subtle mental activity that was below the level of your radar before, the threshold. So this is also, you'll find, just like the breath practice, that in this practice, you'll start to notice all this very subtle mental activity arising as well. A little bit more advice on the practice from Alan Wallace here, and then we'll go back and do this practice again, okay?
How do you distinguish between the
Okay. So remember, in this practice, it's not a practice sometimes called open presence or open awareness. You know, there's a sometimes this practice you'll see is called open presence, open awareness, which means just be aware of everything that's arising, mental, physical, everything. This practice is restricted to the mental domain. So physical sensations, sounds, we're not interested in. That doesn't mean we're trying to block them. It's just we're not paying attention to them. We're just ignoring them. But of course, what you will notice is there's some sound, and then instantly you've got dog or rickshaw or something or annoying person or something outside. That's the mental event. So that thought that's generated from the sound, you can observe. But don't pay any attention to the sound itself. Of course, we're not trying to block the sound because we're just going to get irritated.
But any of the events would generate
not always, but yes, if we're aware of the sense event, then often that'll generate a mental event, yes. So any mental event generated from sensory input we're focusing on, yes. Okay. A little bit more about the practice you may find helpful. Again, this book, page 101, he says the following. When you first begin the practice of settling the mind in its natural state, you may have difficulty identifying the intangible domain of the mind. Or even if you do settle your awareness there, after some time your attention may become vague, disoriented, or spaced out. If you have difficulty identifying the domain of the mind or sustaining attention there, consciously bring up a thought such as, what is the mind? And attend to it. Don't think about this question or try to answer it. Just observe the thought itself, watching it emerge in the field of consciousness and then dissolve back into that space. Once it's gone, keep your focus right where the thought was and see what comes up next. If you slip back into a kind of lax, mindless vacuity, deliberately generate the thought again and observe it with bare attention. Bare attention means directly. So if some mental event comes up, we're observing it directly. We're not commenting on it. We're not projecting anything onto it. We're just observing it directly. When you become familiar with this practice, you will no longer need to generate such a thought to crystallize your awareness and locate your attention. That will happen by itself as thoughts arise and pass of their own accord. The practice of attending to the space of the mind and whatever events arise there is like taking a naturalist's field trip into the wilderness of your mind. When you first embark on this inward journey, you may perceive very little, but as you grow more accustomed to this practice, you will begin to identify an increasing quantity and range of mental phenomena. Some of them are discrete, like thoughts and images, while others are nebulous, like emotions and moods. This practice provides you with experiential access to a domain that cannot be observed with any of the instruments of modern science or technology. The most they can do is detect the neural and behavioral correlates of the phenomena you are observing directly. You have become a naturalist of the mind, and a whole new world is opening up to you that for most people remains largely unconscious. In this practice, the locus of awareness gradually descends from the superficial level of coarse mental activity that is immediately accessible through introspection down into the inner resources of the mind that are normally below the threshold of consciousness. You discover in this training that the border between conscious and unconscious mental events shifts in the degree in relation to the degrees of relaxation, stability, and clarity of attention. Especially when you engage in this practice for many hours each day, for days, weeks, or months at a time, you dredge the depths of your own psyche. In so doing, you remember long-forgotten experiences, both pleasant and unpleasant, and a wide range of desires and emotions. What happens here is a kind of luminously clear, discerning, free association of thoughts, mental images, memories, desires, fantasies, and emotions. You are plumbing the depths of your own mind, undistracted by external diversions. Once hidden phenomena are unmasked through the lack of suppression of whatever comes up. This is potentially an extraordinarily deep kind of therapy, and the more intensively you practice it, the more important it is to proceed under the guidance of an experienced, compassionate teacher. During your meditation sessions, internalize the wisdom of this contemplative tradition, and make sure you implement the core instructions of this practice, which are, whatever arises in the mind, do not be carried away by it, and do not grasp onto or identify with it. Just let it be. Watch thoughts, feelings, and other mental events arise. With discerning intelligence, be aware of their nature, and let them slip back into the space of awareness without any judgment or intervention on your part. This is the key to letting the knots of the psyche unravel themselves as the extraordinary healing capacity of the mind reveals itself. This is the path to deep sanity. Sounds good. Any more questions about this practice before we go back into the practice again? Yeah.
What are you?
Well, that's a thought, isn't it?
Yeah. And then the thought, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then I would return to the breath, which is not supposed to be an object.
Yeah, yeah.
That repeated returning to the breath.
You actually, in the beginning phases of this practice, if we find that we're constantly caught up in mental events, we can sort of use the breath as a little bit of an anchor to help us. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. And in fact, like I said, it sometimes can be used a bit of an anchor point in the beginning phase if we're constantly getting caught away. But then we can use that anchor to ground ourselves momentarily, then again observe the mind. So at the beginning, maybe we're focusing more on the breath being stabilized and a little bit from time to time looking at the mind. And then slowly, slowly, more we're looking at the mind, less anchoring on the breath. And then eventually we don't need the anchor of the breath and we're just looking at the mind. So that can be a sort of a transition. Yeah. Again, with this balance in the beginning phase, you can use the breath to help. So you can find, when you're observing the mind, when you're breathing out, you can just naturally relax. Yeah. And if you find that you're very dull, then during the in-breath you can sharpen your focus. So you can sort of do this balance on each of the breath. So again, you can tie it a little bit to the breath in the beginning phases of balancing between too tight and too loose.
Now the gaze I want to ask you about, the gaze is directed downward,
okay.
Or is it straight down?
Yeah, okay. Personal preference. Generally, it would be slightly downward, because if it's too down, you know, you sort of get the sort of dullness. If it's too high, you might get agitation. But this is something you can experiment with at home. If you find that you are getting more agitated, you can lower your gaze. If you find you're getting a bit dull, raise your gaze. So that's something you can experiment with at home. You know, often they talk about at least partially open. Personally, I find that sort of this sort of flickering effect. I just have them naturally open. What we don't want to do is force them wide open. So no straining. So again, personal preference. You can experiment having them slightly naturally. What works best for you? And then there's one question here, and then we'll do the meditation.
Is there a way to tell if there's no thought because you know, like you were saying, you're suffocating the mind. So is there a way to tell that?
It's just a matter of experience that you will find that this sort of balancing between dullness and it's a continual thing that we're going to have to develop. So it's not like as a beginner, yes, now I've got it right and that's it. It'll be a continual refinement of the whole thing. So in the beginning phases, you'll find that you often tend to be quite obvious that you're getting very dull, or quite obvious that you're getting very tense, you know, and then you'll find as you progress that imbalance will get more and more subtle, more and more challenging to notice that imbalance, but that's just the progress. So that's just an ongoing thing that we'll be refining throughout the practice. Okay, so let's do that practice again. Before we break for lunch. So again, 15, 20 minutes. Oh, one thing I'll mention. At the end of that meditation, the last couple of minutes, I said, now release all appearances and simply allow the mind to rest. That's actually the practice that we're going to be looking at this afternoon, the awareness of awareness practice. So I personally like to sort of these sorts of mind practices to end the last couple of minutes resting in awareness. I find it's a good transition, but I'm just deliberately bringing that in a little bit now so that we have a little bit of familiarity when I talk about it this afternoon. So again, in this meditation, the last 3-4 minutes, we're just going to release all appearances and simply allow the mind to rest, just simply resting in awareness itself. Just simply be present, just be aware of being aware, just notice being aware, that's it. Appearances will still arise in that phase, so you'll still have thoughts and emotions and things arising, but then in that phase, don't focus on any appearances, just don't suppress them, but just ignore them. Just focus on being aware, you know, being present, being aware, knowing that you're aware. That's all.
Okay?
So we'll do that for the last few minutes again in this meditation. Okay, so again, finding a nice, comfortable posture. So again, we begin by allowing our awareness to descend into our body. Becoming aware of sensations throughout the body. Using the out-breath to relax and release any tightness or tension in any part of the body. In this way, allowing our entire body to become completely relaxed, completely at ease. And allowing the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. Not trying to control or regulate the breath in any way. Setting the mind in a state of ease and relaxation by letting go of any thoughts of the past or the future. Simply allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Simply focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. And then with your eyes at least partially open, vacantly resting your gaze in the space in front of you, bring your attention to your own mind. And simply observe your own mind and whatever is arising in the space of your mind, without following thoughts, without trying to get rid of thoughts. Simply observe them as they arise and pass, without grasping to them, without becoming distracted. Again, if you're not sure what to focus on, or you're simply becoming dull and spaced out, then every now and again, deliberately generate a thought. Any thought will do. And simply watch that thought as it arises in your mind, and watch it as it disappears back into the space of your mind. And then keep your attention right where it was. Simply wait for the next thought to appear in that space. And if you find that you're constantly being swept away by your thoughts, you may like to experiment with noting to help stabilize your focus. So giving a name to the mental event, giving a label, such as thought, memory, emotion, and so forth. And if you're becoming frustrated or even bored, observe that frustration or boredom. And then release all appearances and simply allow the mind to come to rest in its own place. Simply rest in awareness itself. Simply be aware of being aware. all sorts of appearances will continue to arise. But now pay no attention to any appearance. Simply be aware of being aware. And then we can slowly finish the meditation. Any last questions about this practice before we break for lunch? Everyone's hungry. Okay. Okay, then let's break for lunch. So we've got an hour for lunch and we'll start up again at 2:00. Okay?